may be seated. Well, turn in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Matthew 6, verse 33 is our focus verse today. There's Bibles under the seats in front of you if you didn't have one. I'd like to provide those for you. It's the most important thing we can do is to help one another learn to grow deeper in this book. And so we'd love for you to have your Bibles open as we're reading, looking. Sometimes they'll ask you questions. What does it say? And I want you to tell me what it says, because it's most important that we're in the Word. We're in the Word of God. So we're in a time when, we've talked about this before, week before last, a lot of people are frustrated. A lot of people are confused, conflicted. What are we going to do in this election time? I just don't know what to do. What am I going to do when it comes time to vote? A lot of people are upset, worried, fearful about the future. There's a lot of anger and differing opinions that put people on opposite sides. People go straight to their corners. We were talking about that in worship team. And they go right to their corners when something comes up, and everybody's taking sides in so many ways. And we've got protests and riots over the police shootings. These are all just evidences of how divided we have become. We should be past this in so many ways, shouldn't we? And yet here we are. Here we are. And now we have two candidates, really primarily two main candidates. There are two other ones, but the two main candidates that we have to choose from, and they can both be pretty divisive in the things that they do and say, can't they? Yeah. You have Trump, who is, and as a pastor, I can't tell you who to vote for, but I can talk about our candidates. I can talk about what they believe. I can talk about what they've done in the past, and I can talk about what God's Word says about different issues, but I can't tell you who to vote for. Well, we have one that's pretty impulsive. He speaks, doesn't he? Sometimes he kind of takes that foot and puts it right back in his mouth sometimes, doesn't he? I mean, he can be pretty crass sometimes. He refuses to be politically correct. And you know what? Sometimes that's a really good thing. He addresses needful issues sometimes that other people just are too afraid to deal with. But he has also said things that were mean, nasty, racist. Some of the concerns that we have about his business issues, his moral issues of his own life. There's things of concern there, and then we have Hillary Clinton, long history in politics and political life. Clearly, she has more experience than Donald Trump does in politics and government and world affairs. But then you have the things that follow her, going way back to probably before some of you even were paying attention to politics. The women that her husband had affairs with, she went after them publicly. It got ugly. She's been clearly dishonest in some of the things that she has talked to the American public about. Regarding Benghazi, her department spent a week telling us that it was a video that was the cause of this. And when clearly, because of information and emails that have come out, we know that she knew it was a terrorist attack. And, her, the server and all the emails and hiding emails and deleting emails and lying about emails, lying about how many Blackberries she had, and the Clinton Foundation. She said, well, there's a lot of smoke there, but there's no fire. As far as pay-for-play types of things going on with the Clinton Foundation and people giving money to it, and then the State Department possibly giving favors as a result. Some of her opinions about people maybe that are more akin to my feelings and beliefs, she kind of put in a basket of deplorables. And I don't consider myself deplorable, but so we have a mixed bag on both sides, don't we? It's there's stuff we're struggling with that have frustrated many on both sides of the aisle. And a lot of people are just like, what am I going to do? Some of our young people are, this is their first year to be able to vote. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. This is your first experience in voting. It's awful. But what we have to do when we're looking at a situation like this is we have to look at the long term. We have to look at the results. We're not sure which person we want, but we know what kinds of results that we want. And so we have to say, what are the likely results of my vote going to be? That's what we're going to have to base our vote on. What will be the results of my vote? And will my vote help things to line up more or less with God's kingdom priorities? We have to look at that. Not personalities, not people, not politics. What's the outcome going to be? And that's our verse is going to focus on today. So let's stand as we read the word together. I know, this is a heavy one, isn't it? All right, let's read together. So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Lord, help us to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, even when it's so gray and unclear sometimes what your kingdom would look like in a choice, Lord. Help us, Holy Spirit. Give us wisdom and direct us as we sort through some of these issues. Thank you, Holy Spirit. You're so faithful. If we just ask, you've said you love to give wisdom to those who ask, so we're asking. And we're going to trust you for wisdom to guide us in these days. We pray it by faith in Jesus' name, and amen. Amen. You may be seated. So this verse comes out of the Sermon on the Mount, when Jesus was talking about how we should live. It's talking a lot about the integrity of the heart. It's not just your outward actions, although those are important. It's do those actions reflect the integrity of what's going on the inside? Are you humble? Do you love your enemies? Be a light. Be a city on a hill to the world around you. Live with integrity. Let the stuff on the outside reflect what's actually going on the inside. Don't just, not have adultery. Don't look at a woman lustfully, because that's the same thing. Don't just not murder somebody. Don't hate them. That's the kind of things Jesus was talking about. And he was talking about how to give generously, how to pray, humbly, privately, as some part of it, so that we're just seeking after God, and how to store treasures in heaven. And that's where this comes from. He's saying store treasures in heaven. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, and all these things that, you know, people all around us in today's society, they worry about this. Am I going to dress right? Am I going to have the latest phone, a nice car? Is my, you know, am I going to have a job? I mean, all these things, some of them legitimate, some of them are more self-serving, but he's saying, you know, your Father knows you have need of these things. He says, but seek first, right? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be taken care of. You have to trust him. But seek him first. Seek his kingdom. Seek his righteousness and right living first. And it's not seek only, right? It's not just become a monk and go live away from the world and seek only God. It's that seek first, right? So that his priorities are first in our lives. Seek first as you work, as you learn, as you play, as you spend time with your family, as you go to, you know, to school, all these things. Seek first his kingdom. And he says, don't worry about tomorrow. He's not saying don't work. He's not saying don't play or don't do any of these things. He says, don't worry about it. Seek God first and seek him as you work, as you play. So as we're looking into this election time, and we're not, maybe a lot of people aren't excited about either candidate. There are some, you got people that are excited about both candidates. You got people that are in the middle that are like, I'm trying to figure this out. And you got people that are kind of in the middle on both sides and I think I'm going to vote this way, but I'm not, you know, you've got people all across the map. Am I concerned about the state of our country? By all means, yeah. Now, I know the scripture said, Jesus said, don't worry. Don't worry about all these things. There's a difference between worry and concern. You know what we're like when we worry? Oh, gosh, what's going to happen? I can't believe this, how terrible this is. I don't know who I'm going to vote for. Oh, what's going to happen to our country? Ah, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. We churn it over in our minds. That's worrying. Concern is, God, I'm worried about our country. I'm worried about who I'm going to vote for. Lord, help me to seek out what you want me to do. Help me to do something about it and not just fret over it. Concern does something. Worry just frets. Concern acts, right? So we can be concerned about things and then do something about it. Maybe that's meeting here on Wednesday night to pray, or tonight at the prayer meeting and say, I got to pray. God's got to do something here. Maybe it's going out and serving. Maybe it's just having honest conversations with people that don't erupt into anger. Saying, let me try to understand you, and maybe you can understand me, you know. So be concerned, but seek first his kingdom as you do all these things. Now, I'm going to go through a number of issues, and we'll see how many we get through. The first one that matters, and matters a lot, is the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court is going to have, the election is going to have a huge impact on our Supreme Court in these coming years. Right now we have four conservative, constitutional-leaning judges. We have four liberal, progressive-leaning judges. We just lost one of our judges, Antonin Scalia, who passed away. And we have one empty seat that will be filled by the next president. These are significant things. You may or may not like the person that you vote for, but whether that's president or senator or representative or whatever, but you have to think about who that person is going to appoint, because it's going to make a huge difference. We've got three justices that are over 75 years old, two of them that will be over 80 when this next president takes office. I mean, that's up there to be doing that type of work. The next president could make 2 to 3 Supreme Court justice appointments in his first term. That's significant. And that court will be will reflect the direction of our vote in November. It's going to affect this country for decades to come because, you know, Supreme Court justices, they are appointed for life. And the only reason they exit that office is either by death or by their own personal choice to say, I can't do the job anymore. Oftentimes it's when they've passed on. So we have to know this, my vote is going to affect this and a variety of very vital issues. Some of which I'll address, but a number of different things, marriage and family stability have been impacted by some of their decisions. Religious freedom to live out our convictions as believers. The homosexual issues, the societal impact that is having on so many different areas, and I'll go into some of these in more detail. Drug legalization, which is a big conversation that's happening now. Immigration is a big conversation. Right to life issues, big issues. And even gun ownership could be something that's impacted. And so there's a lot of things that could really be impacted by who we elect this November. So your vote matters. It will help, because our court has been making a lot of decisions that have really impacted the direction of our nation and our culture in these last years. We have to seek first His kingdom. Lord, what direction do you want this country to be going? And really seeking to lift Him up and what He wants in our kingdom. One of the issues that we'll talk about is the issues of life. This is a big issue. It's been going on, of course, in our nation for, I don't know, Roe versus Wade was back in 74, I believe, somewhere back there. But it's been a long time, and there's a lot of, there's so much to that impacts our culture in so many ways. I look at the scripture that says, God said, or the psalmist was saying, for you created my inmost being, you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. You look at the way that a child is formed. I mean, who would have come up with that way of making babies? I mean, to have a baby formed over a period of 9 months, it's the most amazing thing. But it is a huge issue that comes to a very simple thing to start with. And that's the issue of when is life a life? When is life a life? It's a very simple issue, but the results of what you decide, what you answer you come up with for that question, it's crucial. When the baby is fully born that it's a life? When the head crowns and is just beginning to be born? Is it a moment before that? Is it the day before that? Is it a week before that? A month? 2 months? 3 months? 4 months? 6 months? When does it happen? When can we decide, okay, here is where it's not a baby, and here's where it is? Are we willing to take that risk of being wrong? And I know these are very difficult things. And this, hold off on the next slide for a second. I really wrestled with this, but I felt like it was something that needed to be grasped by us as people. And I say this having had my own life impacted by abortion, by a decision that I made as a teenager to be sexually active before marriage. And I got my girlfriend pregnant when I was a teenager. And I paid for her to end that child's life. And so when I talk about this, it's personal. I drive by down 14 Mile, and I still look at the place where I sat outside while she went in by herself and had that done. I still look at it every time I drive by that. So if this is something that is difficult for you, please forgive me. But I feel like it's something we have to understand. These are real babies. You can go to the next slide. There was a video that's out there, and I just took a screenshot picture. And I wanted to be not too graphic, but yet at the same time, this is the reality of abortion. This is a second trimester, though, so that's months three through six. And that's how a child is aborted. I hate to say this, but it's literally a piece at a time. I hate to have to be so graphic, but we have to understand this. When we're able to do this to our most vulnerable babies, we don't care for our elderly, we would assist them with suicide, we would ration health care because it's too cost too much and you're too old. We have arguments about what do you do if a baby is born alive after an abortion? Why are we even having the conversation? The baby's there, it's on the table alive, but that is a legal conversation that's being had. What do I do? Do I save the baby? Do I let it die? These are the things that we struggle with when our moral compass loses sight of true north. Life is precious. It's a gift. We are created in God's image. No matter the value or the quality that somebody says someone's life has. There's a movie in your bulletin coming out on the 9th. Help us to wrestle with, what do we do about abortion? What do we do about it? How can we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness in this difficult thing? What are some of the election issues that come out of this? The Hyde Amendment is one of the things that the Democratic Party is willing to eliminate. The Hyde Amendment bans public funding for abortion through Medicaid. And the Democratic platform is for allowing public funding, taxpayer money to go for abortion. And the Republican platform is against that. Planned Parenthood, that's been a lot of fight about that. We've seen the videos where employees talk about the harvesting of baby parts for sale, for profit. Does this not speak to where we are as a nation? That we could do this? That somebody that is trained and knows how a baby is formed, this is how they went to school for this, and yet they could traffic in these things. You know, there's all the numbers about Planned Parenthood only doing 3% of their services are for abortion. And then the other side says 94% of their services are for abortion. The reality is it's somewhere in the middle. But do we fund that? This is one of the election issues. Court decisions that have happened in the past. States where teens can go to their counselor at school and say, I'm pregnant and I want an abortion. And they can take them across state lines without the parents' knowledge. These are the types of things that have been talked about. The situation in Texas, the clinics that are doing surgical abortive procedures, and yet they don't have to have a connection with the hospital so that they can have a hospital's backup if something goes wrong. You know, that was one of the big fights there, is they wanted to be able to do abortions without having to have the cost of being connected with a hospital. So there's a lot of these things. Life is a big issue. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you, as difficult as these things are. We need to honor God first and trust him with some of the rest of the things, not knowing how they're going to work out. Not knowing how they're going to work out. We're going to land there. Some of these are pretty, that was probably one of the most difficult ones, but needful. We have to be honest and really be able to go into this election saying, what am I deciding here? Because it's all about, again, not the personalities, not the politics. It's what's going to be the results? What's the outcome of our vote going to be? Is it going to be something that is going to honor God and his kingdom, or is it going to go against God and his kingdom? And I know they're not always clear, but we have to do our best to make our decisions based upon godly outcomes as opposed to personalities and politics. So I want to, this verse that we just read, I want to read through this with you. This is through the, it cut off on the bottom. This is through the Good News translation. You get most of it there. Sometimes it's good to just read a verse in a different translation, and it just helps us to get a better perspective. It says, if God gives such attention to the appearance of wildflowers, most of which are never even seen, don't you think he'll attend to you, take pride in you, do his best for you? What I'm trying to do here is to get you to relax and not to be so preoccupied with getting, so you can respond to God's giving. People who don't know God and the way he works fuss over these things, but you know both God and how he works. Steep your life in God reality, in God initiative, in God provisions. Don't worry about missing out. You'll find all your everyday human concerns will be met. Don't worry about how this is all going to turn out. Don't worry about, but what about this and what about that and what about the way what that person did and what about that, the way that that candidate did that. We want to get fret about these things. And he's saying, just seek first the kingdom. Seek first his righteousness. And all these things will be taken care of. Today has enough worries of its own. Don't add tomorrow's worries onto today. Just seek first the kingdom. And then we can go, okay, I can do that. I can't fix my whole country. I can't fix my world. But I can do my best personally, God, to honor you, to seek your kingdom first. That's all I'm responsible for anyway, isn't it? What do I do in light of his kingdom? You can't fix the world. I can't fix the world. But I can be a part of doing what I'm supposed to do and honoring the kingdom. I'm just going to ask the worship team to come. We're just going to close in a song that helps us. Great choice of songs, Bob. I appreciate him, Bob, playing the worship today. The song we're going to sing is Breathe. Let's all just take a breath, right? Ready? 1, 2, 3. Okay. We can breathe knowing that God is God, and we just want to seek after, be desperate for him, to know him, to love him, to follow him. Can we stand together and just, we'll make this the prayer of our hearts as we close.